Edition number two. We're here to showcase some of the best lessons, units, and epic events that have happened through the course of January. So we're here to showcase those teachers today and those programs, and again, some of the best practices that we've seen through the month of January. So really excited to show these off. We've got an exciting lineup here. So just remember, as with any PhysEdagogy podcast, if you're listening to us on iTunes, you can always click on the chapter titles. It'll take you right to a blog post, a website, where you can gather more information on what we're talking about. So we really want it interactive. We really want you to learn, and we really want you to implement this stuff in your classroom. So without further ado.
Well, hi, Matthew. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm a high school teacher. I studied at Arizona State University, and I got hired at Mesa High School 21 years ago, and I've been at the same high school ever since. It's a great school. It's a huge school. We're the largest school in Arizona. We're the oldest school in Arizona. And I teach. I'm fortunate enough to teach all the fitness classes here. So I've had people call it the health club model. Everything that you see at a health club, whether it be yoga, Pilates, rock climbing, circuits, the kind of the current trends in fitness are what I teach to our young people at Mesa High School. So that's pretty much the concept of my program. Like I said, let's see, I've been here 21 years. So I started from scratch doing what was originally called aerobics. And over the years, I've kind of felt like that term was a little outdated. I kind of think of the 80s, the students weren't connecting to the term aerobics. So now the courses that I teach are called complete fitness. I teach four courses of complete fitness, and then I have one class that I created about 15 years ago called the Elite Fitness class. It's actually a club embedded in the school day. It's the advanced fitness class. Students have to try out to be in there. And if they make the tryout requirements, then they're placed in this one specific hour of the day. And it's also called the Elite Fitness Club. So today I just wanted to talk a little bit about the program, my health club model, what I do, and about this elite fitness class that I have, and then some special kind of unique things that we do within the club to promote physical fitness and leading a healthy and active lifestyle to our school, to our community, to our feeder schools coming in, so you kind of have a broader idea of what I'm doing way out here.
And thanks. So, I mean, I didn't know Maria. I'm in Wisconsin. Maria's, you know, down in Arizona, but she had posted a tweet on Twitter and really just blew me away. And it was this YouTube video. And if you click on the link right now in our podcast, it'll take you to it. But it was this video of all of her high school students. And it was probably up to 60 kids that were performing a fitness routine in front of the whole school. And I thought, you know what, we need to share that. And we need to get more PE teachers across the world doing something like it. So, Maria, could you just share a little bit about that?
Yeah, one of the reasons, let me back up a little bit, why I started an advanced fitness program or the Elite Fitness Club is, like I said, I'm at a very large high school with 3,500 students. And I noticed that, you know, only a few kids would make a volleyball team or a soccer team or a basketball team. So there was a whole big population of students who are athletic, love to work out, love to train, have never had that experience of being on a team. And so that's why I created it in the first place. Then I wanted to promote within this club to the rest of the school, to the community, to our feeder schools on what fitness is, what it could be like. And I wanted, obviously, kids to sign up for my class and work out. So I thought, well, how can we promote fitness to the school? So I came up with this idea of let's do a fitness routine. And all it was, like I said, I'm not a dancer and my students are not dancers. They're just kids who love to work out. So I took basic exercises like sit-ups, jumping jacks, push-ups, and I put it to music. And it's just based on simple 8 counts. And they transition from one exercise to the next, but it's choreographed and it's practiced and it's they all do the same thing. And I put it to music. We performed it at an assembly, the first one I did, And the student population went crazy. They loved it because, like Matthew said, there's 60 to 70 students in that class. So you see 60 kids come out wearing a uniform, out on the court, doing a fitness routine to music. It was pretty awesome and very unique. I think that's what it was. And you don't have to be a superstar. You don't have to be an athlete to be in it. Anyone that can just loves to move around and be fit has a good time with that. So my usually I have about 50 to 60 kids try out to be in Elite Fitness. After that one routine we did at an assembly, I had about 150 kids come out and want to try out and be in Elite Fitness. Now, not all make it. It's tough. It's tough to make it in there. But what I loved is now the students here at Mesa High are talking about fitness. They see that kids are doing it and having fun with it. It doesn't have to be drill sergeant, serious, uncomfortable. It can be fun. Anything's fun with music. So that's kind of how it started. If you check out that link that Matthew was nice enough to put up there, you can kind of get a little snippet of see what it's like. I do one each year. I usually start choreographing it in the after winter break, and then we perform it at the end of spring. So I'm on my fourth routine now, and I'm going to get with Matthew here and put up some other of the past routines, and I'll put up the one that we're working on right now too, because they're all different. I have boys in the club, I have girls in the club, and basically it shows off their strength, it shows off their endurance, it shows off how fit they are, and really I want to show that they're having a great time together doing fitness to music.
So. Yeah, you know, I loved it so much. I wanted to just connect with you about it and talk about it because it was something that I wanted to, you know, have my students, you know, perform maybe during a dance unit too, and give them an option of if they're not comfortable dancing, like this is another great way to dance without really dancing and you know, use the fitness skills that they know. And I really appreciate what you said about, you know, fitness just being differentiated in so many levels, and anyone can do it and anyone can have fun doing it. So Maria, it was really great for you to share just everything that you're doing with your program. I feel like it's a great step for high school students, especially, you know, moving on to collegiate life and or just their life in general, where they won't have any more PE classes. And we've got to give them the knowledge, you know, that they'll need for the rest of their lives to stay fit. So I really appreciate what you're doing. And would you like to share any final thoughts with our listeners today?
No, my big message for anybody who's, well, first of all, thank you, everybody who's a PE teacher out there. Thank you for what you do, and thank you for changing these young people's lives and getting them hooked. We want to get these kids hooked on fitness. And, you know, that's all that this was, is a way to let them have fun with it. I think sometimes fitness can be so serious and it doesn't have to be. Have fun with it. Have fun with your kids. Put on some music and jump around, and you'll have an amazing, fun career. So thank you for all of you who are doing what you're doing. That's all I wanted to say.
All right. One last thing about Maria, as I was reading the article, it was clear that, you know, no students ever needed to be motivated by her. You know, it was what you do and how you approach fitness just in general, that the kids are completely motivated to be the best that they can be, and the sign of an amazing teacher. So congratulations to you, Maria. It was my pleasure chatting with you today, and thank you very much, and best of luck in the rest of your school year.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Seriously, it is just such an awesome project. I hope everybody gives that a try. Hey, I'm seriously just so lucky that I get a chance to do things like this. And boy, Naomi Hartle's got another story from Lynn and Crystal, and just inspirational. It's just awesome to hear. And, you know, I just can't wait to share it with you. And Naomi was lucky enough to talk to him. I'm going to send.
Road trip that I've been hearing so much about. But before we start, Lynn, I'll just get you to explain a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Naomi. I'm Lynn Heffley. I'm a physical education teacher in the Huntington School District in Huntington, New York. I teach K-4 at Southdown Primary School. I'm also the vice president for elementary and middle school for the Suffolk Zone of the New York State AFERT. And I also am the president of Literature Enhanced Physical Education.
Awesome. Thanks, Lynn. Crystal, you want to tell us a little bit about you?
I'm Crystal Gorwitz, and I teach 5th through 8th grade physical education and health at Hortonville Middle School in Hortonville, Wisconsin. And I also was past president of our state association named WHPE.
Awesome, thanks. So, Lynn, can you tell me a little bit about how you got started with the virtual road trip?
Well, I have to say, I don't think the idea of a road trip is new. Like when I first started teaching, we would take, the children would run laps, and we'd say that each lap was a mile, and we'd try to get to a certain place on the map. So when a couple of years ago, I got a grant for accelerometers, and I've been trying to, over the years, try to figure out what to do with them. So I figured this year I was going to use them as with one class to do this road trip. And I'm really into incorporating the Common Core standards. So this was a way for me to have the children use math while still teaching physical education. So we would move through the class, and then they would take those numbers, and we'd add them up and decided to go on a trip. Well, then what happened was we decided to go to meet people that I have met on Twitter or at conventions. So the first stop was supposed to be Texas, and to meet Jim DeLine, the Texas Teacher of the Year, and he's an amazing human being. So we decided we'd go there, and when we got there, we would have a Google Hangout or a Skype and meet his kids. So, but then our kids found out that we weren't getting enough miles in, so they started wearing their accelerometers all day long, which was phenomenal because now the teacher was giving brain breaks, and they were wearing them out to recess and really moving more throughout the day than just in physical education.
Your kids really bought into this idea, too. That's really awesome.
They are so excited, and their parents are so excited. And just using – this is with third graders, mind you. I'm using a third grade class. And they are really reading the accelerometers, and they're taking full responsibility of it. It really isn't happening in my gymnasium, all of that work. The math is going on in the classroom. They recharge the pedometers. So I track where we're going to go. They send me the mileage, and I track on a map where we're going to go. And we got to Texas, and we had a nice Skype with Jim DeLine. And now we're very close to getting to Colorado to meet Lynn Burrows and her class, her third grade class, and they've become pen pals. And the things that have come out of this are really exciting because classroom teacher decided to teach about Texas on the way to Texas. And now she's teaching about Colorado on the way to Colorado. And then Lynn decided to be pen pals, so they sent us letters. And my kids are writing now to send them back. And now we have math, geography, and technology, and writing. So it's really just become so interdisciplinary beyond the Common Core, which is exciting for me.
That's very exciting. That whole cross-curricular piece is huge.
Yeah.
When you can get your classroom teachers involved and then your students, you know, wearing the accelerometers all day long just because they need to get more miles, that's buy-in and that's awesome. That's absolutely fantastic. I love that.
I ran into two kids after school today and they're like, we've got to take ours off. We're going to take them home tonight. I'm like, go for it. Just bring them back tomorrow.
Awesome.
So they're responsible.
Yeah. And when you have third graders that are doing that, like I think of my third graders and I mean, they would have been pumped about this idea. Like, I'm just like, oh, too bad I'm not teaching anymore because this would have been a fantastic idea. But they would have just bought in. But yeah, just third grade seems when you say grade three, they seem so young. But the fact that they're getting this at that age, this is just going to help them improve and improve and improve and just buy in so much more. I love it.
It's phenomenal. So then after Colorado, because I posted on Twitter, Joe McCarthy, Minnesota, contacted me and asked if he could get in because I sent out and asked Mike Graham if he would be interested, and they both said yes. And then all of a sudden, I heard from Crystal.
Crystal, do you want to tell us about your part in this? We'd love to hear from you.
I do a monthly or bi-monthly podcast, Google Hangout with Joe Bailey, and we call it the Joe and Crystal's Excellent PE Adventure. And Joe and I just share things that we're doing in our physical education class. Joe Bailey is an amazing woman from Wisconsin, and on Twitter too, at Love PE. And she was telling me about Lynn and saying that Lynn is doing this virtual road trip. And I thought, wow, that sounds really cool. I want to get in. So I contacted Lynn and we did a Google Hangout. And she told me the what trip she was on and that we could walk to her school. So I, in order to get there, I have all my kids doing it, not just my fifth grade. So I have fifth, sixth, and seventh grade walking. And when we get to a place, then we find out about it. Right now, we are in Akron, Ohio. So that is how I got involved and teaching the kids in physical education about, and they are so excited because we decided that we did practice to see in our gym, we did a mile to see how many steps approximately, it is approximately 2,000 steps. So now the kids, as soon as they get to class, they want those pedometers and they want to get 2 miles now, not just one. So that's how I started.
That's fantastic. I love that. Just when the students want to do more movement, that's when you know you're doing something great with your program, right? You know, that's when they're learning something, and that's fantastic. So what are the future plans for this whole project, for the virtual road trip?
Well, I have to say also, Lynn Burrow's class is coming to us too. And originally it was just me traveling the country with my kids, and now Crystal and Lynn are both traveling to us. So that's one of the things that's come out. But future plans, one of the really exciting things is I was talking to Jared Robinson, I forget, on one of his podcasts, I think, and he has a website called Active Globe. Mm-hmm. And so he heard about our field trip, and we are putting all of our kids, Lynn Burrows and I, are putting all of our kids on Active Globe so they can see themselves travel across the country. So
awesome.
The kids will input their mileage and they will have a class goal to get to a destination, but they can also input their own personal goal. So if they want to go visit grandma, they can see themselves, you know, traveling to Arizona. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a really cool addition. And I'm putting in for a grant to get accelerometers for the whole third grade level instead of one class. Those are my future plans.
That's fantastic. Crystal, what about you? What are your future plans?
Well, I contacted our technology department to find out if we could have like Instagram or a classroom Twitter, and they're a little nervous about that, but that's okay. So we came up with a solution, and I asked Lynn, we're going to be e-pals and have we're going to be pen pals, but not writing. It's going to be electronic. So they're going to have a pen pal at Lynn School, my fifth graders, and then we're going to digitally, instead of writing on a piece of paper, write back and forth and share information. That's what I'm so excited about for, like, my kids snowshoe. And when I talked to Lynn originally, she just went, wow, you guys go snowshoeing? That's so cool. So just tell about what we do in Wisconsin versus what we do in New York so they can get, you know, cultural, find out about different parts of the different part of the country and what they do in physical education there. So that's my future plan.
That's exciting. So if somebody wants to get a hold of either of you to talk to you about the virtual road trip or any type of idea that they have, how can they get a hold of you? Where can they contact you? Lynn, what about you?
I'm on Twitter at lynn.heffley on Twitter. And my email address is lynn.heffley@gmail.com. What else do we need? I'm on Google, same thing, lynn.heffley.
Do you have a website that they could access?
My website is LEPEINC, stands for Literature Enhanced Physical Education.com.
Awesome, thanks. And what about you, Crystal?
I'm on Twitter. I'm at Clearly Crystal. And on Gmail, health the letter E, teacher, healthyteacher@gmail.com.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. Well, thank you so much, ladies, for having this chat with me. It's a very exciting little opportunity for your students and for, you know, the rest of the world to hear about, because when Matt told me about this, I was like, this is so exciting. I have to talk to these ladies about this, because, you know, your students would just like, they just get so excited about the buy-in is huge. So thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. This is Naomi Hartle. Yeah. This is Naomi Hartle at Ms. Hartle on Twitter, signing out.
Hey, Naomi, thank you so much for that interview. I mean, unreal, just great stuff. So love the real world connections that kids are making, and they're just so excited to continue to get fit and continue to work at it. I believe that they approve. So again, that's just, you know, some teachers that are out there that are collaborating. You know, maybe they met on Twitter and maybe they talk there. But again, they're connecting, and they're connecting their kids to the outside world. And just absolutely love it. And I appreciate all those teachers and the hard work that they're putting into it. And as we talk about communication and collaboration, I know a lot of people are starting to talk about Voxer, and you know, it's hot, and it's just a great way to start creating projects and really take that communication and collaboration up a notch. And, you know, we're lucky enough that Colin Brooks is just going to take us through a little bit of an interview here and showcase some of the stuff that can happen.
Hey, thanks, Matt. So today I'm here with a great couple guys that I actually have a Voxer group with, and I'm just going to have them introduce themselves. So, Evan, go ahead and get us started, buddy.
Oh, good morning. I'm Evan Godseff. I teach K through 5 physical education in Federal Way, Washington. This is my 9th year teaching, and like Colin, I graduated from Oregon State University.
Awesome. Go Beavs.
Yeah.
All right. And Ryan?
Hi, good morning, guys. My name is Ryan Weiser, and I teach actually 1st through 6th grade, and I am in Spokane, Washington. This is my 12th year in education and 8th year in health fitness.
Awesome. So, I'm Colin Brooks, and I'm excited to talk to you guys about this, and you can find me at Colin Brooksy on Twitter. So, yeah, we are all part of a Voxer chat together. We're all in the Northwest, and we're all elementary physical educators. So Voxer is a fantastic application that works like a walkie-talkie. So you push your phone just like a walkie-talkie, and you can have group conversations and different chats, and it's a great way to discuss professional development. So what I want to talk to you guys about is how has Voxer helped you just in general as a physical educator? And Ryan, can you start us off?
Sure, yeah. I think for me, it's just been a great tool to primarily kind of just self-reflect, but it's also been nice because it's kind of like going to school and being able to collaborate with your 5th grade partner or 6th grade partner or whatever it might be. Typically when we're in our positions, it seems like maybe the district will offer you one time to collaborate a month where you can get your whole group together. But with Voxer, it's been nice because we've been able to Vox every day, sometimes multiple times throughout the day, and just be able to bounce ideas off each other. This lesson went well, or maybe at the end of the day, someone might say, hey, how was your bowling lesson or whatever it might be for the day? And we can talk about it and see, hey, what things can we improve on? And then we've also been kind of just focusing on certain things, maybe with kids or whatever it might be, or with ourselves to make sure, hey, let's make sure that we're doing that in our lesson today. So it's good accountability as well. And yeah,
Awesome. That's great. Hey, Evan, how about you?
Yeah, I agree with what Ryan was saying. And for me, the nice part about Voxer is when I think of something or I have a question, I'll just leave a message right then. And then you guys will get to it whenever you can. But I don't know about you, but often the day sort of goes by so fast that if I wasn't able to put that question out there immediately, I lose it from my mind, right? And so getting a different perspective and even just saying, hey, I tried this in class. What have you guys tried for this management technique or this strategy or this fitness lesson? It feels just like Twitter does. It feels like the collaborative group of physical educators that are trying to learn and grow is a tremendous way for us just to reinforce each other's positives, but also to say, oh, well, I've tried this and I've tried that. And, you know, I wonder why you're doing that and so on. So it's really good.
That's awesome. So you mentioned Twitter. So a lot of these conversations maybe can start on Twitter, but they end on Voxer and they can continue on Voxer. So just Ryan, you mentioned this briefly, but maybe we can elaborate a little bit. So tell me a little bit about, so we've talked about how we kind of help each other with lesson ideas and discuss our best practices. But can you tell me, Evan, maybe you can you tell me a little bit about the support that you receive from just being in the Voxer chat?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, like Ryan alluded to earlier, you really are, you know, on an island a little bit. We can't go and discuss, you know, the same things that we need support with because nobody teaches the content like we do. So, I mean, at least for you guys, you know, we've had this group for a while now, so we continue to encourage each other, whether it's in our daily life or just being positive or remembering to build relationships with the kids, remember to focus on that stuff, as well as getting into the technical parts of best practices and how we can improve our PE teaching. I would say the biggest part for me is like I want to learn, I want feedback, I want to grow, and before Twitter and before Voxer, it was very difficult to, you know, even to find time or schedule a phone call. And this way, the way Voxer works is, I mean, you get to it when you can, and occasionally, you know, you'll open up the screen and there's 95 Voxes because the guys were having a conversation without you, and it's fine. You just kind of catch up when you can. What about you, Ryan?
Yeah, it's funny, real quick, with the Voxer, Evan, this is almost like our phys ed anniversary is coming up with, because Evan and I kind of reconnected through the phys ed summit, and we were kind of talking. I was like, hey, I met you at a PAL conference, and then I was invited to this Voxer group. So I thought that was kind of funny as the phys ed summit 2.0 is coming up. So
hey, well, happy phys ed anniversary.
Yeah, hey thank you. Thank you for being a part of our anniversary, Colin.
Glad to be here.
No, but for me, it's been nice too, because yeah, on Twitter, it's sometimes you'll see just a lot of talking or people getting back at each other, and it's kind of hard to get a part of that conversation to catch up. And kind of like what Evan was saying, it's nice you can kind of catch up on your own time, but also just the visuals. We send a lot of pictures, and then also you can kind of text message through it as well. So for me, I get a lot more out of the Voxer group just because we can, one, go on at our own time, but two, there's the visuals as well that can kind of go along with that really kind of help enhance things, and you're not having to scroll through at so-and-so. But by the way, my Twitter handle is @PVHawksPE, so you can follow me there as well.
Awesome. Hey, well, thanks so much, guys. You know, and I also want to give out a shout out to Steve Johnson, who's another member of our Voxer group. It's just a great way to continue our professional growth, and I'm glad to be a part of it. So thanks so much for both of you joining us today for the Phys Edago.
Hey, Colin, thanks for that interview. You gentlemen are doing some awesome stuff with Voxer, communicating, collaborating, and reflecting with one of the biggest tools our PLN is using. Boy, Voxer. All right, well, when you get a chance, you guys got to check out Voxer. Definitely connect with some of your closest, teachers that, that you like to communicate with and you like to talk to, and bring those connections even closer through Voxer. You can just continue to talk more and more, which is just fantastic for our profession. So give it a try, everybody. Let us know what you think. Voxer's one of the ways to go right now. Hey, right now I'm going to send it out to Jonathan. Jonathan's got probably one of the biggest phys ed advocates out there, Joe McCarthy. And Joe is just big time presenting all over the place. Just saw a nice webinar through Gopher and things like that too. So big shout out to Joe, but I'm going to send.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jonathan Jones, and you can find me on Twitter at J_JonesPE, and I'm part of the Phys Edagogy team. And I'm here with Joe McCarthy. And Joe, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, thanks, John. My name is Joe McCarthy. I teach at Meadowview Elementary School in Farmington, Minnesota, which is about 30 minutes south of Minneapolis. I teach at a K-5 building of about 700 students. I'm on the Minnesota SHAPE board, the Central District board. I'm on Twitter at JoeMcCarthy09, and I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Cool, Joe. And I brought you here because you have some pretty fun and exciting and worthwhile things are going on at your school. Do you want to tell us about it?
Yes, I would love to. The first program I want to talk to you about is our running club program. The running club program is designed to get students active at recess outside. And at our building, I am one of many recess supervisors that go outside and supervises students. And when I go outside with first grade students, I see them sit. So I thought of a fun, energetic way to get students to be active, which is a running club. At our school, we have a large grass field out back, which is 1/2 mile in length. And students will come out and they can walk, jog, or run the course. It was also a great time to increase their fitness, socialize with their friends, and to be refocused when they go inside in the afternoon to learn. When students come inside, they get a sticker next to their name. And during PE class, we talk about goal setting, we talk about sweating, we talk about heart rate. And when students earn 10 stickers, which would be 5 miles of activity, they earn a donated prize, which is great for them because that's for them, it's a feeling of self-empowerment.
No, definitely. And you're telling me that you actually received a big donation recently. You want to tell us about that?
Yes. Last summer, I happened to have the great opportunity to go to the Gen Youth Learning Connection Summit in Dallas, Texas. And while I was there, I met the president of Quaker, and I told him about our running club and our Century Club program. And he just recently sent me 700 healthy bars to these active students as a way of refueling the brain and also the body for these active, healthy kids.
Excellent. And so what do you think has been the impact of your program on your school population?
Many things. It's changed the culture of the school as far as increased fitness levels, increased academic success, and high positive behavior of all 700 students.
Excellent. So I would like to thank Joe for joining us today. And
hey, great stuff, Jonathan and Joe. Thank you very much, Joe, for all that you do. It's much appreciated in the physical education world. And we just know that your students absolutely love it, teaching them how to stay fit, healthy, and happy. Much appreciated. So, and not only You know, is he getting Quaker bars, you know, to show how healthy they can be? I mean, he's getting jump passes to trampoline parks. He's getting tickets to professional sports and amateur sports. And, I mean, there is stuff all the time that Joe All right, last up on the Phys Ed Showcase, edition number two, I'm talking to Charlie Rizzuto. This guy's got a pretty impressive project out there called Train Your Teacher. And Charlie's going to get into some details that go into that, and hoping to see a lot of people kick this off. But Charlie, hey, why don't you just introduce yourself a little bit and let us know.
Yeah, great. My name is Charlie Rizzuto. I'm a physical education teacher at Oyster Bay High School on Long Island, New York. I teach 7 through 12 PE. We have 7 through 12th graders all in one building. I've been teaching for 5 years now, so I'm still in the beginning stages of my career, trying to grow every day. You know, my class sizes are anywhere between 12 to 32 students, depending on the grade level and the period that class is being held.
Nice, man. Well, I'm glad to get connected this way, and really looking forward to showcasing, you know, this massive project that you did, which I think a lot of people can benefit from. But before, we talked a little bit about the three R's, and it's just a great way for you to approach your teaching and to approach your students. So do you just want to lead everyone through the three R's before we get into the, you know, the big deal, the big project here?
Yeah, definitely. The three R's was something that I didn't hear about until really this year at Superintendent's Conference Day. Our superintendent gave a presentation on the new three R's in education, which are rigor, relevance, and relationships. And one of the greatest things to hear in the presentation was it gave me the opportunity to kind of think to myself, well, do I do this already? And if I do, are there opportunities that I miss where I could and I don't? And the answer was kind of both. Yeah, I do this in a lot of ways and in a lot of regards, but there are opportunities through my teaching that I might miss where I could make stronger relationships with my students, or I could make the learning process a little more rigorous. And it also got me thinking, as physical education teachers, sometimes we miss opportunities to take things that may be classified as, you know, general ed professional development because we may think it doesn't apply to us, or to look at it another way, a phrase that I use is oftentimes we skip rocks. And if you could, you know, remember back to when you're a kid, or maybe you still do it now, you'll, you know, walking around along the water, you find that perfect rock or that perfect shell, and you kind of just toss it and you try to get it to skip along the surface. And I think oftentimes we're introduced to a new learning approach or teaching approach, we hear it and we automatically internalize it, but we just skip along the surface. So the way I internalize, I like to drop boulders. I like to go deep with things rather than skipping rocks. So when I look at rigor, oftentimes we hear rigor and we say, okay, it, you know, it has to be hard work. Well, rigorous work is more than hard work. Like rigorous work has to take the student to a new place through the experience. And one of the ways that I look at it to look at the physical end of it is if, you know, if I could jump on a 4-foot platform with my vertical jump and I go and I work out and I jump up there for a set and, you know, my heart rate may be up and I may be sweating and I may be tired and that may be hard work. But the rigor would be trying to get 4-2 and the process and the training that would go into increasing my vertical jump to that new level. And that's kind of how I approach rigor with my students, bringing them to a new place. Making them wonder and think critically and make connections through the learning experience to bring them to a new area. And relevance and relationships in the same way. Like to me, you know, relevant learning doesn't just mean value, although it does, but it's more than that. It's the transfer of the learning. Can this relate to them in real life scenarios? And can they internalize it themselves? You know, it's not relevant to me as a teacher. It has to be relevant to them as a student. And that's really hard. And every time I approach a project or a lesson or an assessment, I struggle with that sometimes because me, myself, I can make it relevant for me. I can make it relevant for one person. But when you have a class of 32 and you're trying to make this relevant for all of them, sometimes that could be rigorous, a rigorous thing that we have to do as teachers to make sure that that happens. But it's really important that it's a personalized learning experience and it's important to them. They could transfer it out of the gym. And this idea of relationships to me is more than mere likability. You know, students liking us is great. And Rita Pearson has a great, you know, quote in her TED talk, kids don't learn from people they don't like. And I completely agree with that. But I feel like in our discipline specifically, it has to be more than that, because there's a dynamic of physical education being fun. And I kind of use this term of supervising glorified recess. And if our kids like us because that's what we do, it doesn't enhance the learning process. Like, our kids have to like us because we're fun, but also because they know that we genuinely care for them and their learning experience and their learning process. And even outside of that, there's mutual respect between students and the teacher, and the students understand that they're valued in your classroom and through the learning process. And there's a shared struggle there. If I'm going to ask you to work hard as a student, that student should recognize that you're working hard as a teacher. And that will kind of enhance them or push them a little bit further when you do challenge them to meet you with the challenge and to work through the challenge with you. And I completely understand that sometimes, you know, I hear the rumblings of my students when I challenge them in a particular way, and they might not want to do it because, you know, this is phys ed class or whatever the case may be, but they always produce good work. And I feel like they do that because they understand that I'm in this with them. And that's a much stronger relationship than them simply or merely liking me because we have fun with Mr. Rizzuto in phys ed class.
Nice, man. Dropping boulders on the Phys Ed podcast. Unbelievable with the three R's. Love it. Love it. So great approach to your teaching. And, you know, as PE teachers, we're always looking for ways to connect. And, you know, like you say, build those relationships, build that relevance and rigor. And I mean, what a great project that you came up with, you know, training your teacher. And we're always teaching our kids to be fit, you know, for the rest of their lives. And, you know, you being 7 to 12, you're really setting them up well with this project. So just want to give us some details into the Train Your Teacher project.
Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of came up with this idea for the Train Your Teacher project even before I had heard of the three R's. And it was one of the things that I do that when I heard about the three R's, I had to think about to say, well, is this one of the things that fit? And it fit perfectly. It was seamless. And that's kind of why I wrote about it and kind of tried to share it. But so essentially what I wanted to do with the project was I wanted the students to do a performance-based assessment, but kind of in the cognitive domain where they were showing what they learned and how they can apply the concepts that they learned. So we started out by learning about the sport fit model, you know, the difference between type 1 and type 2 muscle fibers, and a lot of different fitness concepts. And then we learned a lot about, you know, exercise equipment that they may have not been introduced to before: battle ropes, medicine balls, slide boards, kettlebells, resistance bands, parachutes, and all these different things that some of them had used, but none of my students had used all of them. And we learned about the different ways that you could train, the different benefits of each piece of equipment. And then what I did was I went around to the school and I asked some teachers if they wanted to take part in this project. And this is really where the relationship end of it comes in, and you're building strong relationships not only in your class but throughout your building. That's one of the things that I really love about this project. So essentially I asked the teachers if they'd be up to donate two off periods in the next 2 to 3 weeks, depending on the size of my class and how much time I felt that we needed to complete the project. The first class, they would come in and they'd be teamed up with a student and they'd get interviewed on their fitness goals and where they may be fitness wise. And then the next time they came back, you know, 2, 3 weeks later, again, whatever the case may be, that student would train them and take them through a program that they designed specifically for them. So in terms of the students, after we learn all of these things, we come together as a class and we design the interview. And during the interview, we came up with questions, you know, are you currently on a workout regimen? Describe your current lifestyle. Do you have any injuries? Are there particular instances where you feel short of breath or tired? And we came up with about 8 to 10 different questions that we felt would provide us valuable information to build the program. And then we asked the teacher if there was anything else that they wanted to add. And I gave the students, and I encouraged the students, really, it was a formative assessment piece in this regard for me, to build off those questions. So as a class, we came up with questions. It was kind of a group piece to the project. But individual with your teacher, based on the answers they give you, expand off that answer and ask a follow-up question specific for your teacher. So after we gathered all of this information, then we took about 2 to 3 classes And the students took the concepts that we learned and we discussed prior to the interview. They took the information that they gathered through the interview, and we started to design routines specifically for those teachers to help them reach the goals that were discussed during the interview. And oftentimes during that period, it was kind of like an open forum in those classes where we're collaborating with each other. Students are asking questions to me, to other students, and we're working in almost like a lab type setting. Building off each other's ideas and sharing ideas with each other and experiences and exercises that maybe I hadn't taught them yet, but they had learned somewhere else. And it really broadened the scope of everything that they were learning during this unit. It was amazing for me as a teacher to be involved in it, but also from time to time to step back and just watch it all happen. And I don't really love it when people say students teaching other students, but I love the idea of students learning from other students. And to me, there's a little bit of a difference there, and that's exactly what was happening. So when we got towards the end of the program in terms of them designing it, we go, you know, into the weight room and they grab the equipment and they, you know, go through their program with each other and talk about teaching cues, because that's another end of it. Now they may be putting their teacher through something they've never done before, but they have to be able to teach it. They have to use the, you know, the right wording and to get the teacher in the proper form and all of those things that we're learning about as we go through the project. And then when we're ready, teachers come back, they meet us in the gym. I bring all the equipment upstairs. You know, they're in their shorts and their t-shirts and their sweats, and they're in completely different attire than the students are used to seeing them in. I take them through a quick dynamic warm-up because I want to make it educational for the teachers as well. We want this to be something that the can transfer right out of the gym, that the teachers can turn around and actually use. While I'm doing that, the students are getting ready, you know, making sure everything's set up, kind of shaking off the nerves. And then once I'm done warming them up, the teachers go with their students and they start training them, and it's amazing. I'm watching my colleagues interact with my students in a completely different dynamic than they've ever had the opportunity to before. And you want to think about building strong relationships. I mean, here are these kids that have administrators and math teachers. None of the teachers that volunteered were phys ed teachers. So they have administrators coming in. Dr. O'Hara, our principal, came in and got trained. English teachers, math teachers, science teachers, saying, you're important enough for me to give up my free time to come and aid in your learning. And that's a powerful thing for students to experience.
I mean, just very impressive, you know, how you bring the whole school together like that. And I know not at one point in time did you think, well, I'm just doing this for my program and to advocate for my program. I mean, it was all about the kids and the kids learning. But as I was hearing you say it and just talk about it, like, what great advocation for what your kids have learned and you know, their chance and their ability to showcase that. And I'm sure that those teachers were blown away at how much those kids knew and how much they learned in phys ed, you know, with you and, like you said, with their other students. So just very, very cool, all-encompassing project and a great way to, you know, showcase all the learning that can occur, you know, when you're talking about fitness and training plans and all that stuff. So great. Just quickly, if you can, I know sometimes it might not work out where every teacher might come down. So could you give us just a couple of different modifications just in case there's a teacher out there that wants to try this and maybe they struggle getting every teacher involved or enough teachers. So if you got a couple of different backup plans that you could share quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, before I implemented the project, this was something I had to think about just in case it didn't work and I wasn't able to match students up with teachers on a one-to-one basis. So one of the things that I thought about was maybe getting teachers, if they couldn't come during their off period, or maybe it just didn't match up with the period that I was teaching or whatever, maybe donate 10 minutes of their time one day after school for the interview, and then one afternoon after school for the training and the application of the project. Another thing that we actually did have to do the first time I did this project was team train. So I'd have two students train one teacher, and that was cool. And I enjoyed that because, you know, again, it wasn't students teaching students, it was students learning from students, but they would go through that whole process of the interview together and build off each other's ideas. And it was a different way to approach the project and apply the project. And I like that. Another way that I kind of thought about it was having the students interview and design programs for each other if for whatever reason I couldn't get any teachers involved. And obviously when you look at the three R's as an approach to teaching, you would lose the relationship end of it a little bit. Well, actually a lot of it in that regard. But still, the rigor of the project would be there and the relevance would be there. You just kind of lose the relationship end of it in terms of, you know, the entire building. The relationship end of it between me and the students would still be there because we're going through this rigorous grind of a project together. And it's a struggle for me, and they know it, and it's a struggle for them, and I know it. So that kind of helps our relationship from student to teacher. But you had a great idea for an elementary level of maybe doing a superhero type of project. You know, he could fly, but he can't run fast. So at the elementary level, kind of looking at it in that way, which I thought was tremendous for the lower levels.
Yeah, just a little more of a case study. And, you know, here's the problem with our superhero and how could we fix it? And, you know, come up with a couple of different activities where you could fix it. And that way you can just kind of showcase a couple of different things and some, you know, focus on different components of fitness and, right, and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, man, some great stuff. And I really appreciate you joining us today and sharing that because I've learned a ton. And I know all our listeners are learning a ton too. And definitely something that we can implement into our classes. That again, like you say, very relevant, very rigorous, and building some amazing relationships. So love those three R's. I appreciate you taking your time. Any last thoughts for us?
No, I appreciate you having me. I love sharing. And there's a big assessment component that we really didn't get into during this, but the Phys Ed Summit on February 21st, I'm going to be part of the High School Assessment Roundtable. And I'm going to be talking about the project again. And during that, we're really going to get into the assessment end of it, you know, because there's formative assessment opportunities. I use it as a summative assessment. And there's all different avenues that you could explore with this project in terms of assessments also. So I'm really excited to share that.
Nice. We're excited to have you for the Phys Ed Summit on February 21st. Look for that conference schedule coming out soon. So thank you for your time. We really appreciate it. And for the Phys Ed podcast, signing off, Matt Pomeroy.
Wow. I hope you were sitting down for that one, folks. Mr. Rizzuto just dropping boulders of knowledge on us. Just awesome work. Definitely love that project and hope to see many of you guys using it. If you don't follow him on Twitter, make sure you give him a follow. All right, I want to finish this up with just a short little talk about the Phys Ed Summit, just to give you some ideas of what's happening with it. This is the second version of the Phys Ed Summit, and it is really hosted by the Phys Edagogy team. Basically, there's two blocks in the Phys Ed Summit, which is a virtual online professional development conference. Everything is streamed live on air through Google Hangouts. It is also then archived on YouTube, so you can watch them at any point in time. In the Block 1 sessions, Block 1 sessions start at 7 o'clock a.m. Pacific Time and 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. There are five sessions going on at the same time, so you'll probably only be able to tune into one, check it out, and then check out the other ones that you're interested in later. But we've got iPads and PE, Google Apps for Education, a talk on standards-based grading, teaching games for understanding, and physical literacy. Again, all these are going to be streamed live on, you know, through YouTube, through Google Hangouts, and there's also going to be a Today's Meet link, which is a back channel. So everyone who's watching it can click on that link, and they can kind of just chat with everybody else who's watching it. Pretty awesome way to do it. Then right at 8 o'clock Pacific Time and 11 o'clock Eastern Time, there's just going to be a little bit of a brain booster from Spark, who's helping us out put on the summit. And then our Block 2 sessions start at 8:15 Pacific Time and 11:15 Eastern Time. There's an adapted physical education session where Jody Larson is going to talk all adapted PE. And then we've got assessment is our focus for all our roundtables. There's an elementary roundtable, a middle years roundtable, and a high school roundtable. And those are lined up with about 4 to 6 people within each session, and they're going to be sharing just some of their best assessment practices. So Phys Ed Summit 2.0 coming at you. That is February 21st. It's going to be a great day of professional development. If you can't make it that day, make sure you watch later on YouTube. So I am Matt Pomeroy for the Phys Edagogy podcast. This is the Phys Ed Showcase Edition number 2. It has been rocking. I hope you enjoy it. Can't wait to hear your talk about how you're implementing some of those things that we're doing. Signing off. See ya.